From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. We're reporting this week on new efforts to end homelessness. Around the country, there are programs that may work in one neighborhood or one city. The challenge for decades has been to create a model that can work not in one community, but hundreds. Well, today we're going to focus on one program and the woman who started it, Roseanne Haggerty. She's one of a new breed of social entrepreneurs bringing business-like approaches to some of the world's toughest problems. As NPR's Pam Fessler reports, Haggerty's group, Common Ground, has a plan to find permanent housing for 100,000 chronically homeless people.
This is a story about the evolution of an idea and how it turned into a national campaign. Roseanne Haggerty stands outside an elegant 15-story brick building in Midtown Manhattan and recalls how it began, how this former hotel became a model for housing the homeless.
In the early 80s, I lived right next door to the Times Square Hotel. It was back in the day when Times Square was Times Square, as we say, but kind of a crazy neighborhood, to say the least.
Known for peep shows and prostitutes, before anyone dreamed that Times Square would become a family destination. Haggerty, who worked with the homeless, was upset to find out that the old hotel was shutting down.
It was the largest single-room occupancy hotel in New York City. The building was practically on the verge of being condemned. It had 1,700 serious building code violations.
And trash, mildew, and crack vials everywhere. But Haggerty was young, 29, and she thought, hey, why not just fix the building up so all these homeless people have somewhere to live? And while we're at it, provide services like health care and job training.
I thought that that could be a solution for the Times Square.
So that's exactly what she did, with some help from the city and the feds. Today, you'd have a hard time telling the Times Square from a pricey Manhattan condo. Marble lobby, gold-trimmed ceilings, Art Deco light fixtures. Haggerty points to two elegant curved staircases.
I think Grace Kelly may sweep down at any moment. It's beautiful.
But it's not Grace Kelly today. Instead, more than 650 formerly homeless and low-income tenants call this place home. So, mission accomplished? Well, not exactly. After the Times Square was up and running for a few years, Haggerty and her staff started to notice something. There were still lots of homeless people outside.
You kind of expected, or at least I did, naively, this shift to happen, that building opens, homelessness, you don't see it anymore. The neighborhood just fixed it. And so it was this great puzzle, like, what didn't we do?
What they didn't do, it turns out, was to actually talk to people living on the streets to find out what they wanted. Almost everyone at the Times Square had come there by way of the city's homeless shelters. As for those still outside,
we had no clue. None of us in the field had any clue. We had just written people off because we thought their failure to use the shelter system meant they didn't want help. They didn't want the shelter.
Haggerty realized she needed to know two key things: who was out there and what it would take to get them in. So now we come to the next step in social innovation: fixing what doesn't work.
Somehow it occurred to me, like, maybe I need someone with a military background.
I don't know why she had it in her mind that she wanted someone with a military background.
But she did, so Haggerty hired Becky Canis, a West Point graduate and former special ops commander.
And I didn't know anything about homelessness.
But Canis did know how to get things done. She took a team of outreach workers into the streets and started collecting information. They asked the homeless all about themselves and created profiles. Then they ranked them on a scale from 0 to 8, using something called a vulnerability index. Simply put, the higher your number, the more likely you'll die on the street if you don't get help.
We start off our relationship with people really just getting to the bottom line. How long you been here? How sick are you? Do you want housing? Most people do. Let's work it out together. And the outreach teams in New York house in that order. They house in order of length of homelessness and vulnerability.
A big shift from the old way of doing things, which was helping the homeless first come, first serve.
I don't see anybody there right now.
Samuel Novacek is a housing advocate with Common Ground. He and a colleague are driving a van around Lower Manhattan looking for a homeless client who's moving up the vulnerability list.
The one we're going to look for now has been out for a number of years, and he also suffers from schizophrenia and alcohol dependence.
They are stepping up efforts to get him inside.
So here's bedding, so this might be
Yeah, this is.
The caseworkers pull up to a sidewalk on Avenue D, where they see a pile of blankets. Novacek gets out and gently pokes the mound. A man with long, stringy hair and fingernails caked with dirt slowly emerges. He takes a sip from a half pint of vodka as Novacek tries to cajole him into getting help.
So let's make a plan. Let's make a plan for early next week, Monday. We'll come by, put you in the hospital, do like a nice stay.
It can take months, even years, to get someone inside. But Common Ground says it's worth it, that it costs less to house and treat a man like this than to leave him on the street, where he'll use emergency services again and again. And they say focusing on the serious cases has a ripple effect. Many of the less serious cases take care of themselves. When Becky Canis started, there were 55 chronically homeless people living in the Times Square area. Now there are none. Haggerty started getting a lot of attention for results like these, even a MacArthur Foundation Genius Grant. And more recently, she says,
other cities around the country started contacting us.
Which brings us to the next step for an innovative idea. If it works one place, will it work someplace else?
Are there any people that work for local government on the phone?
This is Tina in Baton Rouge, and I work for the Louisiana Housing Finance Agency.
And this is Gregory. I work for the city of Fresno.
And Tony from the city of Santa Barbara Housing Authority.
So Common Ground launched a national campaign to house 100,000 chronically homeless people over the next 3 years. More than 70 cities have joined so far, and they hold regular conference calls to talk about their progress. They've already permanently housed more than 7,500 people. Cana says everyone's also sharing tips to improve what Common Ground began, like how to cut through government red tape.
They call us and say, we just changed this rule, and we're like, oh, that's fantastic. And we tell everybody else. That's just really how the campaign grew, very organically.
Although not everyone sold on the idea, Patrick Marquis is with the Coalition for the Homeless, also in New York. He says Common Ground has done a lot of good for the long-term homeless.
But we shouldn't lose sight of the bigger picture, which is that, you know, the large majority of homeless people are not this chronically homeless population. We're talking about families, we're talking about children, we're talking about folks that have been impacted by the economic crisis.
He says if you want to end homelessness, you have to address their problems too, like a lack of affordable housing. But Haggerty and Canis think they're on the right track, although they know the proof is in the results. Tomorrow, we'll see how things are working in San Diego, one city that's joined the Common Ground campaign. Pam Fessler, NPR News.
This is NPR News.